calls it the author of whoop, The Robot Proof Recruiter, which I do show every single show. And I'm a candidate engagement speaker and facilitator. You might be wondering where I was last week and ruining all of your fun on a Friday afternoon. Well, that's their fault. Keen, I promised I would wear this shirt. So I am. They were beautiful enough to buy 100 copies of this book, which means the world to me because of where the royalties are going. So I was very happy to fly to Amsterdam and go and speak at their event, which was amazing. But I didn't quite make it back for the show, so my apologies. If anyone else wants to buy 100 branded copies and do this, I'm more than happy to advertise your wares. No problem. Anyway, on to today's show. Sorry, of course, I'm joined by my, I don't know which side he's sitting on, gorgeous, talented, talent acquisition professional co-host, the one, the only, Glenn Martin.
Howdy.
Hello, Glenn. And the fabulous person, actually, to me, sitting in the middle, so hopefully Mike is sitting in the middle, Mike Rasmussen. I meant to call him a what, Glenn? A hiring manager.
A hiring manager whisperer.
I'm pretty sure he's a talented talent acquisition professional as well. However, I'm more than happy to call Mike whatever Glenn wants me to call him. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Mike.
That was a long indeed. Intro.
How are you guys doing?
Cool.
Good. Welcome. It's lovely really and good. Early for you. Glenn and I are just sort of nodding off for Friday afternoon, so bear with us.
Yeah.
What time is it where you're at?
3 p.m.
Oh.
3 p.m. every week, GMT, London time.
Don't miss
is
the
that
show.
Right?
Yeah. At London time. There is no other time
London.
In the UK other
there
than
is no
London.
Other time.
No, even though I was just in Manchester. We're dreadful.
Yeah.
So, Mike, tell us Mike? How. Well, actually, first and foremost, show us anything that you might have that will make me go.
Yeah. Have you.
Right. Okay. I'm done. I'm over that. Tell us how you ended up in this recruitment malarkey. How did
tell
you get here?
Sure.
How to get into it? Well, yeah. I kind of fell into it, you know. So when I was in college, I decided, you know, I was studying business and I was like, I need to figure out what I want to do. So I was at San Jose State University in California and I was studying HR. Mm-hmm. And so I one day I got an internship at Applied Materials, and then that led to a staffing agency. At Staffmark, Venturi yeah. Staffing. So I was going there while I was basically finishing up school, and that's mm-hmm. pretty much the rest is history. And so I've been there ever since.
Have you been at the one company ever since?
No.
That's my email
several
again.
Companies,
sorry.
But I've been at the same company, this one, ADP, for, there we go.
Other side. Target team.
This is different. It's hard to figure it out. Okay, hold on. There we go. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Then this come. It's weird. I'm looking at the screen trying to do it. But I've been at ADP 7 years.
Tiger team. Who are the Tiger team? Tell us more.
This is kind of cool. this is actually what it is it's a, this is our veteran hiring initiative. And so I'm on that team that's helping with diversity hiring for veterans. Yep. So specifically focused on trying to, you know, help them come and join our company. So veteran hiring is a wonderful thing. So
yeah, we need
the ones who serve their country.
Yeah. Really, really good. Really
we need
good
more of
indeed.
That here in the UK, especially.
Yeah.
You guys have much better programs.
Yeah. I think 100%, man. Seriously, there are some agencies that are working specifically around that in the UK, and I think certainly one of them spoke just up to HR Cambridge. Which was great, right? Mm. But there certainly needs to be a lot more, kind of focus on that. That's for sure, 100%. So, Mike, the title of the show, Katrina, can you show the title? You can, yeah.
Yeah, I did push just get back from Manchester. I'm like really tired. I literally rushed in the door, rushed online, so and made sure I got my shirt on.
So you wanted to talk about this, Mike, right? I mean, it's something that you're really passionate about, handling difficult hiring managers. And I think anybody in recruitment clearly has had experience of this. If they haven't, they haven't been in recruitment long enough. So so kind of give us a bit of an overview as to why this is a really important subject for you personally.
Well, every hiring manager is, they all have their own
unique
traits and needs that they have and the way that they approach things. But I think the key is you have to remember that they're human and they mean well many times. It's just a matter of making that partnership go smoothly. We are going to have our difficult ones who you might be more selective. They might, you know, need coaching on a couple things. You might have to focus on a few areas. But I find that the recruitment strategy meeting is a big one. You know, that's the foundation. It, you have to ask good questions. You have to understand things. You know, if you come to that meeting prepared with data, for example, look at the market. You know, you LinkedIn can show you what's happening. You know, sometimes it's good for the hiring manager. If you go out and you find a role that was recruited for recently, you can see what Glassdoor said. And you can see, well, you know, here's some feedback that came from Glassdoor. You know, it's not always going to be to them specifically, but you can say, hey, look, here's what candidates are saying about our company. This is the brand. So show them how it affects the overall perception of your company and your recruitment. And, you know, when they get the word out, you know, they affect candidate experience just as well, right? So it's a challenge. I mean, sometimes within the recruitment strategy, let's make sure we call it that because I like that name better.
you'll have Steve Levy tuning in going, Mr. Rasmussen, we decided this is what it's called.
He'll pick on me if I said it.
He will. Yes, Debbie, Glenn is definitely rocking the hair today. Right, sorry, back to you. Just had to get that in. Debbie,
it's all to the side. It's perfect, and it all kind of flows.
I know.
So, Mike, I know there's kind of three key things that you'd like to speak about, like during the course of the show, and we'll kind of come on to those. So, I just wanted to just peel back one step, which is when you kind of receive that kind of mapping of your hiring managers. When you started at ADP, how did you go about first and foremost just mapping the hiring managers, and what was your initial approach to each one of those? Because I think that'd be really useful insight for anybody, just that starting point.
You know, even now I work with different, I have a set group because we're pretty much covering all of, in my case, all of North America, really. So you're going to run into all sorts of different hiring managers from different backgrounds, different business units, different areas. So when I first started, even from the starting point to now, the approach is still the same. You have to ask good questions. You have to, you know, talk to them about the job description. Does this really represent what you're doing? You have to kind of walk through it with them and say, okay, do you want to change anything? Do we need to update something? You work with HR to strategize on the market. You try to understand what the compensation is. You try to get to the meat of what the challenges might be. And then you really kind of say, you know, if you have a tough search, for example, you know, it's going to be fairly niche. You want to make sure that you take a look at that challenge and say to the hiring manager, look, you know, based on the pool that's available here in this area, you know, and these criteria, you're going to have X amount of candidates based on the search I did. So I went to LinkedIn, I do a search there just to kind of get a rough idea. You can go to Indeed, you can go to, I use HireTool myself. So you can kind of get a sense of what the market's looking like with that niche and get a sense of, okay, how many of these folks are actually there?
Yeah. Can I take it back a step again? We're going to go backwards. Eventually we'll just be like when Mike started recruitment. But the baby recruiters, sorry, I'm sure I've just offended half the audience, but they can't
I'm offended. I'm really offended as a baby recruiter.
I was so going to break into song then. But anyway, dreamer, nothing but a dreamer, but I just thought, no, I won't do that to anybody. So you can't even get the time with the hiring manager. Like, I think is more experienced, whew, that was nearly older, people, we tend to be a little bit more audacious, a little bit more confident to go, well, no, you know, I'm not working on this unless I've got your time. But what can you suggest, like what approach can baby recruiters take when they're kind of trying to get a hiring manager's attention? You know what they're like, they can be like, just use the job description.
That's a great question.
Because I want to get into I get asked this all the time, how do I get their respect? How do I get them to talk to me? That kind of stuff.
Be assertive. Assertiveness is a big one. You can't be afraid to speak up. You have to talk to them about, you know, what your value is. And one thing that is good to build a rapport with them is it treat it like you're just starting any relationship, like you would a candidate even. I mean, you have to remember a hiring manager is a human being. You know, you got to respect them. You got to understand what they're going through.
Oh my gosh.
They are.
I'm kidding.
You know, they are, you know, in challenges, right? I mean, sometimes empathy is the big one. Empathy is the big thing from the side of the hiring manager to the candidate side. And it's very true. Yeah. You have to balance the empathy. And so not being afraid to say, hey, I just need a few minutes to understand, because if I can't understand what you're looking for, I'm not going to be able to help you effectively. Yeah. And the partnership's going to struggle. Mm. And you have to say that. You actually have to say that. And you have to be honest and just candid.
I think it's also having that audaciousness to say, if I spend an hour with you now getting it right, I'm going to save you so much time from interviewing the wrong people. And you just getting frustrated with me. You know, let's just sit down and do this right. But I think it's having that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I think that's a really important point, Katrina, because you're kind of sort of talking about, it's one thing to be assertive, Mike, absolutely, but you've got to bring some value to the table, right? You can't just tenaciously chase somebody. You've got to give them a reason to engage.
And I think it's being a little bit audacious to say, I'm not going to work on this. I could get shot down for that, but it's
I'm
going to waste everybody's time.
Yeah. Do your research. I mean, if there was anything I learned early on, it was doing my research up front and learning how to tell them, hey, this is the reality of this search. Yeah. This is the challenge with this search. And sometimes, you know, there's several things you can do. Bring some sample resumes. Say, hey, I sourced these candidates. Is this in the ballpark based on the job description? And then say, what is your... Here's my favorite question. What is the top performer doing this today? What does that look like to you?
The firewall.
Yeah, you got a dog.
Yeah. Just repeat what you just said. You went, oh, yeah.
Oh, I just said...
That's just Banjo's butt coming in.
I said you need to come and ask a question that's forthright, which is... Yeah. What is your top performer, your A player for this role look like?
Cool.
Yeah. The top performer on your team. If I were to clone them, what would that look like?
Cool. So, Mike, just as a kind of toolkit approach, first meeting with a hiring manager, what two or three things do you always have to hand with you in that first meeting, you personally? What do you always go with?
I like to have...
Cupcake. Donuts.
I like to have some market data. So some market data about the background of the candidate. I like to have sometimes a sample resume depending on the search itself. You're not always going to have that with some hiring managers, but if you've recruited for a profile previously, you can say, well, this is what worked before for this type of role. Does that still work? Other things might be, hey, here's some questions I like to ask candidates in my screening process. You come with some sample screening questions and you say, if you had a difficult client or customer, how would you handle that situation? Or, you ask some other key questions about soft skills along the lines, see if the hiring manager likes that. Or you can ask them, I like to ask them this question, what are your, if in your interview, what are questions that you like to ask? And then just listen. So it's nice to sometimes listen. You just...
Very important.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Two ears, one mouth. Yeah. So we have some comments. Thank you, Lee.
Comment.
Lee always writes comments, lovely comments. Cool. Conversation with a hiring manager demonstrates your depth of understanding about what their issues are and what they're trying to accomplish, then they'll talk to you and pay attention to what you're saying. Very true. However, he wrote something different about the Glassdoor reviews. Actually, I can go boom and bring it online.
Oh, bring it online.
Bring it online. This is why it's worth watching on Facebook. Sorry, LinkedIn. Glassdoor reviews really don't have a lot of credibility. They're the equivalent of restaurant reviews on Yelp. You never know who's writing the review, disgruntled employer, the owner's daughter, or someone who actually worked there and had a really good or bad experience. I beg to differ.
Contentiously. Contentiously, yeah. Very contentious. I mean, yeah. Comparing Glassdoor to, you know, kind of yeah. like Google reviews and Yelp. I think there is a bit more of a kind of validation process surely behind Glassdoor. I think there's a lot more credibility to Glassdoor.
I don't know. I always say this. I think it goes back to sanity. Like when you see the one star review on Amazon because the packaging was damaged, but the product works fine. Aren't they able to see through and see a common thread?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to do when you take them into the hiring manager?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What I try to do with the hiring manager is say, hey, look, you know, look at what's out here. And I think the main point is you want to help them realize that the experience is not invisible.
Yeah.
And so that it can come back and it can affect your brand. Now that might be a valid point. Mm-hmm. Some disgruntled employees and folks may go on there and you know say whatever, right? But at the same time, keep in mind there's some legit ones, and you don't want to be the legit one that had the bad experience.
Yeah,
that's out on Glassdoor. You don't want to be that person.
so try to make it
as good as possible.
Cool.
So Peter Bartel. So with Glassdoor, thank you, Peter. It's very difficult LinkedIn. You have to use your phone as well. My brain. So with Glassdoor, I got some valuable insight that common threads, like Katrina was stating, are what it's useful for. Yeah, I think you're looking for that.
Yeah.
Right. So, look at the common themes. That's what I look for.
Yeah.
Do we let Amy's comments onto the show? I mean, she's just been on twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, totally. What's Taylor, you got to say?
Do we should have a vote?
Yeah, come on. Do it.
I like to ask hiring managers about their previous experience with recruiters. Sometimes they just need to bitch about our predecessors. Good way to learn their triggers.
That is a fantastic call out, Amy. No, absolutely. This is my friend, Amy. I love her. She's awesome. I totally agree with
that. Said
that. Sometimes it's just good to have, you know, ask them that question. Yeah. What has been your experience with recruiters and what would you like to change? And then listen. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's don't let your ego get in the way of some things sometimes, because sometimes it's okay to let that hiring manager, you know, vent. Because if they do and you're listening, that does build trust, you know. So sometimes even the toughest hiring managers, you know, they're human. They're going to make mistakes too, and you have to go with it. So I think that's a great call out. I really like that comment.
Yeah. By the way, this is so cute. Hi, friend. I love her emoji. I love that. Facebook's just got the edge, hasn't it?
Yeah, totally. Just on that point, though, right? Now, if a hiring manager has had previously a slightly, you know, less than impressive experience of a recruiter, right?
Yeah.
I think it's taking on board that feedback, fine, but equally not letting that feed into their perception of recruitment, right? Because as we spoke about previously, it's about building advocacy for recruitment as a skilled and professional industry sector. Mm-hmm. And whilst we accept feedback and criticism, we don't want it to be, you know, a common theme. So yeah, I mean, I agree with Amy. It's like, listen, but at the same token, draw a line, right?
Yeah.
Right.
What do you reckon, Mike?
Mike's frozen. He is.
Hold on.
Oh no, he's there. He's there.
He's coming back.
He's looking very stern.
Oh, gosh.
Debbie wrote, I think what's even more telling than a bad review is how the employer responded to it or didn't. Oh, I think somebody's been reading the Robot Proof Recruiter.
You reckon?
Yay!
He's
in a different spot.
He did twice.
Wipe something, and then it took me off.
I'm still trying to get keen in the show. I feel like I'm sitting too low.
But look, it's over.
We've shifted over.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get keen in the show. I got to do my advertising right. That's better. Right.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Lewis has come on. So, Lewis, should we take reviews on places like Glassdoor with a pinch of salt? You find people's experiences of firms depend greatly on their manager and their immediate team. Good point, Lewis. Yeah. Well, mate, good to see you. Good to see you following the show.
What do you reckon, mate? I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I think... you know, take it with some grain of salt for certain things, you know, but do the reason I bring it up to some hiring managers is they may not necessarily realize how visible they truly are now.
Yeah.
Mm.
I love that when I do my like hiring manager facilitation sessions, like to show them their behavior. Here's your behavior. Yeah. I found all this out about you. I've never met you before, but look at this. And they just sit there shocked. Yeah, really shocked. Why is Mike gone dark? This is fascinating. Mike's changing on the phone. Yeah. So we're really impressed. He worked hard to get around the ADP firewall.
Yeah. So ADP, your firewall. Your firewall is not foolproof, ADP.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually on my phone, so
he's using his data. He's gonna get this massive bill later.
Yeah, I'm using my mobile.
But right, Mike, so we had three things you wanted to get across.
Yeah,
didn't we?
I was gonna say. It's the second piece now.
Yeah.
Post the intake session. Mm-hmm. I just said intake session to see if I could provoke Steve. But
Where's Steve? Steve.
That kind of next stage. So, you know, you've done the intake session, you're now going out to market. You've got some sample candidate profiles, individual profiles, you've gone back in, it's progressing through to interview stage. What's the next kind of check-in point with the hiring manager?
Well, you know, I think it comes down to you get a few resumes out there and you show them what your challenges are. And then from there, you start to realize that, you know, you see if you're on track. And so what I like to do is get three resumes in front of them, have three interviews, see if we're on target. That's usually a good stage to recalibrate at that point and say, hey, are we on target here? Are we moving in the right direction? Three candidates is usually a good rule of thumb because that then allows the hiring manager to benchmark where they're at and what they're thinking. What I've found too, it's interesting. I don't know, have you ever run into this where a hiring manager doesn't really know what they want?
Never.
Like, no. Every time.
I mean, it's...
So,
I want an A+, and I'm going to give them a B- job, but give me an A+.
Or they've done a combination role.
Yeah.
So it's kind of almost like they've combined, say at base level, they've combined a business analyst with a project manager. They want a combination of both with some technical skills. And it's almost as if you're like, I understand why you want this, but the market's telling you that it's not available. What do you do then?
That happened so much after the recession, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was like a narrowing of roles. So we need to combine lots of people into roles and then they think those exist. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think many times you have to have a situation where, you know, the hiring manager realizes what the true reality is of the market and what they're struggling with. That's why that mapping, you know, market data, show them here's the type of folks that are out there based on your criteria. But then they get to a point where you start peeling back. So you can say, do you need X skill? Do you need Y skill? And then you can actually, the hiring manager can say, no, I don't need that. I don't need that. That's a nice to have. And then you get to the next stage. You kind of come like 70% in perhaps versus full 100% of skills. That opens up your criteria a little bit. And then they start, you're able to start finding better people.
Cool.
So other than the skills, what kind of questions are you asking them about like what the person's coming in to do? And are you swinging?
Oh, yes.
Or is this my hangover?
I am, sorry. That was me.
Oh, sorry. Have I just confessed to another hangover?
Let's try this. So
it's the social recruiting show.
Yeah. Super social.
Yeah.
Super social drinking show.
My chair. She's back not a forth. Hangover.
So,
I get motion sickness, so it actually wouldn't matter even if I wasn't hungover. Again, my poor liver. All right.
So one of the things I like to do is, you know, it's good to ask them questions like, and I can't remember if I said this previously or not, but I like to ask what's your top performer look like in this role? So,
but I'm more thinking but what do you, because when you're relying back to the candidate, aren't you wanting
So here's what I like to ask, and this is a good question. I like to ask the hiring manager, what are the top five questions that you like to ask the candidate in an interview that you think are valuable? And so then that gives them the opportunity to recalibrate or say, hey, this is kind of what I, you know, and this is what I'm looking for when I ask those questions. So I ask a follow up. Yeah. What is it that, you know, where does that lead you? Where is that taking it? And so when that gives the opportunity for the hiring manager to facilitate that with you and help you, then you can take that to your questions and you can actually drill down further and take follow-up questions from those, and then it enables the conversation to broaden.
Got you.
Totally. Can I end a quick question for you, Mike? Yeah. On that point, in terms of screening, have you ever had a hiring manager that screened purely on an assessment? So it was assessment-led only, and you know that maybe from an assessment point of view, some people that have been rejected based on the assessment alone were probably really great candidates, but the hiring manager wouldn't accept that. Assessment pass or fail, that's the criteria. How do you try and convince them that they shouldn't rely solely on an assessment, because it should be a combination of things? Have you had that situation before? And if you had, how did you manage it?
I've had that. I've had a situation in the past where they had like a managerial assessment, for example, that showed personality and other pieces, right? So in that scenario, you know, I usually convince them and say, look, you know, this is only one piece of the puzzle. It shows a whole picture of the candidate.
Yeah.
So especially with those personality assessments, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but those things have, you know, like you could go one way on one question, one way on another question. Mm-hmm. They could go down a rabbit hole on something else. And I find candidates overanalyzing those things. Mm. And so when that happens, you have to kind of strategically move them back. Yeah. And so, you know, it just depends on the situation, I think. But, you know, that's when I've had hiring managers that solely focus on the assessment only. And you have to bring them back and say, well, how tight is this niche? I mean, is this a very key skill that, you know, you can overlook this? Is this coachable? The great question to ask, is this a coachable thing that they can get over?
Mm. Totally.
Have you ever made your hiring managers do the test? Like, particularly if it's a personality. Because I did the personality one as a favor. I think it might have been earlier this week. I really have no idea when I did it.
Really? Have you got the result?
It said I was like insecure and not sure of what direction I'm going with my life. I'm like... Okay.
Really?
I'm not sure that's true. it was fine. They took the feedback really well. And actually, they're trying to make the test better. But it was like, if it was one of those kind of tests, and it obviously gave you a bum steer for yourself, I would be making my hiring managers do it. Jake Richards wrote, yes. Hello, Jake. Yes, defining the why for the role and core competencies instead of strict experience and skills is so important. I think the other thing I was looking for was, I'm like keep name dropping Steve, but he helped me with chapter 5. He always talks about what problem are they going to solve as well, particularly with engineers and stuff. Like, what are you coming in to solve? That's quite good. So that's do you also try and ascertain from them, like, what's the person going to be doing in 6 months or 12 months or what future they have? Or because apparently Gen X don't want this, but millennials actually want to know where they're heading.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do try to ask, you know, what's the next step? I say, you know, why, you know, what are you looking to do in the next few months? And by the way, I'm sorry about the glasses glare. It's actually kind of fun.
Really, I look in and I'm like, we can see ourselves. I keep going, oh, there's me. That's why I don't wear them on the show.
I was laughing.
You.
I was like, I can't see worth a dime if I didn't have my glasses on. So
all right,
like,
yeah.
Cool. So,
now, thankfully, I'm in the distance of I can see. That's why I don't wear them. And everyone meets me and goes, but you wear glasses. I'm like, yeah, but I can't on the show because I can't.
But back to the question, I think, you know, understanding, you know, where they're going and where they're going to wind up is good. And usually the way I handle that is I ask the question, what's the next step for their progression in this job family? That's the way I say it. And so that's, if you can kind of get a sense of, you know, what is the career progression ladder in that role, it's going to be much better. And it'll actually, that does help, because then you can answer that question more effectively.
And Mike, do you sit in interviews with hiring managers?
I have on occasion, yes. When I'm in Utah, I try to whenever I can. But I get roles here probably maybe 4 or 5 a year. So it's a good experience when I get the chance, but a lot of my roles are spread out. So always have that opportunity because I don't have boots on the ground, so to speak, but I do like to, whenever I can, I try. Yeah.
Okay, so you just opened the door. Oh, sorry, Glenn.
I was going to say,
open the door.
I was just going to say, it was just kind of like, as part of your kind of hiring manager assessment and support, would you advocate, you know, people sitting in on interviews, you know, obviously observing the hiring manager's Q&A? Because often, you know, people have a, you know, hiring managers have an interview game face that may not actually benefit.
You mean like resting bitch face?
I totally agree with you. I think it's a good thing when you have the opportunity. Now, here's something that I've tried in the past that's worked. Mm. So if you're a remote recruiter, which is, you know, for many of us, that's our challenge. You know, we're remote. We don't get a chance to see them face to face. So to get around that, you know, you've brought up a great idea, which is try to listen in on the interview. Now, one thing you can do is be a silent participant while you're, you know, you're on the phone and they don't realize it. The candidate and the hiring manager are there and you're there just listening.
Yeah.
You're not saying anything. You're just listening. And then you hear the questions that come across. So
you're on mute. Otherwise it's my
This coach. Is actually, it's definitely on mute. And it's a good thing to do because it allows you to hear how the hiring manager is asking the questions.
Yeah.
And this is a good thing to do if, say, you've had several candidates all in a row and you're starting to see a pattern of what the hiring manager's, you know, doing.
Yeah.
There might be something coachable there. So sometimes I'll say to the hiring manager, hey, I got some feedback. Could I listen in? And I just ask them, I say, hey, I'm not judging you. I just want to help you. And so I think sometimes that does come up. Mm. I've had it happen on a few occasions. Over the past year, but it's good. It's good to do. I think listening in is a good thing.
My question was slightly different because this is more for the recruiters that work remotely, which is again, more and more. Mm. How do you, again, like, so if you're not able to physically go and sit and plonk with that hiring manager and sit down together and work, how do you gain their attention? I mean, video chat or have you got any top tips for?
Yeah. You know,
you're trying to build a bond that's even harder because you're not there.
Yeah.
No, totally. The best thing you can do in that situation is have a scheduled check-in. If the hiring manager knows, hey, this is when we're going to check in, that's great. And then ping them, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're one advantage of being remote sometimes is you have IM. And if you're internal to a company, you can shoot an IM to them and say, hey, do you have a few minutes to talk? You know, let's just talk through what we've got going on. Mm-hmm. You know, and get a sense of where you're at or what you're feeling. And that's usually a good thing to do after maybe 2 or 3 interviews, you know, let them kind of talk to you a little bit if you can, just have some kind of recalibration.
Do you feel if you've set the premise well, because you started, this is like the brand spanking new hiring manager, you've started well gone in with all the facts of the data and everything, then they're more inclined to not fob you off? Because I hear of a lot of recruiters saying my hiring managers won't, I ping them, they ignore me. They ghost us as much as recruiters ghost candidates, kind of thing. So,
It happens with many hiring managers, and it's not. I think it's just human nature. I mean, they get busy, they're overwhelmed, they have a lot of things going on. But the thing to do in that situation is be assertive and don't give up and stay on their radar. Now, you don't want to be. I had an old manager who used to say it this way: be a pleasant pest.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Can you
right?
define the pleasant pest? How many times you WhatsApp them in an hour?
No, I mean, you know, follow up during the day, you know, an IM and, you know, maybe a phone call. And then if they don't get back to an email. So try the 3 different methods.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to overwhelm them. Obviously, you don't want to. So, you don't want to stop them.
Do you think you need to find their communication channel as well?
Yes.
So I say to people all the time, we have these amazing tools that we can communicate in many, many different ways on, least just the phone, obviously, actually using it as a phone. But we love to ignore people. So you have to work out. It could be something really random.
Well,
like the number of conversations I have on Instagram, Like,
it's a great question to ask in the intake session. What's your preferred communication method?
Yeah.
Do you, you know, what do you prefer? And then you, you stick with that. Mm. And committing them to a meeting, a weekly meeting, if you can, is a great thing to do. Now, not every hiring manager is going to be able to do a weekly meeting, but just a quick check-in via email and 15, say, 20 minutes. And if you just, for even a 15, 20 minute talk, I mean, and whatever. I mean, just have a quick touch base if you can.
Definitely. And Debbie makes a great point. Sometimes the client forgets that they are also being interviewed. Mm. So certainly in that interview scenario, it's not all one way, i.e., you know, hiring manager asking interviewee questions. They need to remember that they're,
it's true,
they're an advocate for the business, right? And they've got to sell the opportunity and the growth potential. How have you course corrected maybe hiring managers before when they've just purely been interviewing? What advice have you given them to try and, you know, kind of sell in the opportunity a bit more?
You know, I think it's good that if the hiring manager gets a sense that this candidate is like going to be one that they want to pursue and that they're having a good relationship with, I tell them, hey, start sharing the big picture of the environment that they're going to work in. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are some of the perks of the job? I mean, do they get to work from home? Do they get to, you know, does your team do anything fun? I mean, there's a lot of intangibles that sometimes besides money and comp that you can look at. So sometimes the candidate just likes flexibility. Sometimes they just like to know they have an awesome team and you can share, hey, we go to this offsite once a quarter. We do this or that. And so just things like that are really important, I think. So you have to get to the goal there. Those are all good things to remind the manager about.
Because we're running out of time. I really want to ask this though, even though we're running out of time, because I think it's important. Those lovely hiring managers who will not under any circumstances give feedback other than they're not a right fit.
Ooh. Good question.
Because this is a huge problem. This is like causing candidate ghosting. It really is. Recruiters ghosting candidates, hiring managers ghosting us so we can't give feedback.
Like,
thoughts on how to get more than they're just not the right fit out of the hiring managers?
Well, I think it's good to ask a follow-up question. What is it that you didn't see that fit with your needs right now? Why is it that, you know, what in comparison to a couple other candidates stood out? Mm-hmm. So ask a couple follow-ups. Yeah. And you can do that via email. You can do it via instant message. You can do it. I mean, I have most of my hiring managers are very responsive via instant messenger. So it's a piece of the puzzle there that I use quite a bit because that's, you know, I can get them in the moment while they're thinking. Sometimes I'll send them a note right after their interview. Hey, how'd your interview go? Or if I know it's scheduled, I'll send a quick email out and then they can send me back some information while it's fresh. So when they see the email come over, it immediately triggers, oh, I should respond. And they write it down. So
but I love that follow-up thing. So, you know, what was it that you didn't see? I think that's a great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's, if we give them that feedback, it might just change their career. And I think we've forgotten, you know, we're in charge of people's careers.
That's a good
point. Oh, Lee.
Very good.
Oh, that on the screen. Lee's hard. He's hard, I tell you. Look at that. Wait, don't send them anybody else until they do give you feedback.
Yeah. I mean, you could go that approach.
Go, baby recruiters. You can do that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's not a, that I tried that approach on several occasions myself. I think that's a great call out. You know, sometimes
by the way, Amy also
you have to. So,
but you've got to know your audience.
Great approach.
You got to know your audience to do that, right? I mean, some people may, some hiring managers may react negatively to that. And Daniel on LinkedIn, he was like, just means they're not worth your effort. Get a new client. Don't waste time. I was like, okay. I mean, look, you know, some people
if
will generally
decide,
move on.
If your agency said, sure, you can do that.
Walk away.
But what happens if you're, if you have to deal with them and you're in corporate recruiting, you can't do that.
But you have to deal with that person still. For you to have that, like Lee's absolutely right. And I think the three of us have got, you know, way too much experience. Oh, that's right. No, sorry. Claudia's the baby recruiter. But we had the confidence to be able to do that in such a way we probably wouldn't like drop ourselves in the doo-doo. But I think you also need to know that your manager or your team leader will back you up. And I think if you don't have that in place first, you could end up with a P45.
But what if you're a standalone in-house recruiter with no kind of team around you, making that judgment call then.
You're in control.
Well, I mean, in that situation, here's the deal. Here's the deal with that. I've had that situation once in my career. And what I did in that situation is I tried to get the senior leadership on my side. You know, go to the next support system, whatever that may be. In my case now at ADP, I have a great manager who helps me. And, you know, when I need that, that, you know, that's a wonderful thing that does help.
Yeah, totally. I mean, a lot of people are agreeing with you.
You know, I have had that on a shirt and wear to debrief meetings. It's just not the right fit, isn't feedback.
That's awesome. A lot of people are agreeing with that. You know, sort of Mercedes, a few others. And the Jim Stroud is on. You know, they're sort of saying, look, coach, train your hiring managers to give feedback. Because as we've discussed before, feedback is payment to the candidate for their time and effort, right? It's the, the very minimum that they should expect, some tangible feedback. And Jim's gone on to say, list all the reasons why a candidate isn't good. List the things the hiring manager said they wanted. Man, calm down, Jim. And then ask why they did not like them. Reasons why a candidate is good. Typo. All right. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I mean, this is following a similar thread, right? All good stuff.
He's allowed to not be calm.
Well, one thing I love that is always important is, you know, post recruitment debrief as well. So, you know, it's sometimes you're going to have, you know, several similar types of roles. So I think we all get ourselves in this mode where we think, oh, this is the recruitment. You know, I'm going to, this is it. I don't have to deal with this again. Well, think strategically. Two or three steps down the line, especially if you're an internal recruiter, even agency, you know, think of how this process is going to affect other processes and best practices that you can take to the next place. So from, from a hiring manager, you know, perspective, you take the lessons learned and you, when you go to the next recruitment strategy meeting, talk to them and say, look, this is what I learned in the last go around with a similar position. These are things that you might take to this role. This is what I learned. This is how we can do it better. So always have that feedback ready from your past learning as well.
Yeah, totally.
We're out of time. It happens every time. We should go back to an hour. I know. An hour is too long. I mean, people weren't staying for an hour, so we went to 40-ish minutes.
I mean, I was going to ask Mike for more advice for us baby millennial recruiters, but if we've run out of time, then you know we'll just have to save that for another time, right?
I don't know what you're smoking today, but it's awesome. Is there anything that you really wanted to say? You were like, I finally got on the social recruiting show, because I do remember you in person cornering me at SourceCon and going, Katrina. So now you finally come on, a bit like Amy.
Yeah.
I'm the worst. Was there anything that you haven't said that you really wanted to say?
Yeah, sure.
I'll give a shout out to our local recruiting association out here in Utah. So if anybody happens to be listening in, we're building an ATAP chapter. It's called Recruiters of Utah in Recruiters of Utah, Utah's ATAP chapter. So if you are in Utah and or you're thinking of moving here, get in touch. We're building out some great events and having some fun things. Our next event's on December 11th, and we're having a presentation on diversity and inclusion at Dead Mountain in Lehigh.
Brilliant. So
it should be fun.
So where's Utah on the map? Yes. Where are you?
We're in the West. So if you look at California, then there's Nevada, and then Utah's right there.
Okay, thanks. Sometimes I get my little...
And for next week, we'll be here, won't we, Katrina?
We will be here. Again. We have absolutely no idea who's coming on, because everyone's saying no at the moment. So, but we will. We will find a guest.
Are they?
Yeah, we've got guests, I guess.
Well, yeah, but only by one. Only by one. Everybody else is super, super keen.
It's also it's super a really keen. Busy time of the year.
Super keen.
Just remember, if you'd like to purchase 100 copies branded of the Robot Proof Recruiter, I'll have.
I'm going to be buying it soon.
What do you mean you're buying it soon?
No, I'm going to buy my copy. I'm getting myself a Christmas gift.
Why are you waiting? It's on Kindle. Do it already. Let me talk to your boss as well, because we could sort it for the team.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, because I can do team bulk I know I promoted a lot, guys, but I last night was up in Manchester for the Hope for Justice event, which is where the royalties go. And I pretty well spent the whole time crying. It was the stuff they do. Just look at them. They're amazing. So,
and we will be having a show on that.
We will indeed. Yeah, I think we need to have a special chit chat, an off topic show about how recruiters can pay it forward and just, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's awesome.
This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Was it worth the wait?
You're a superstar, mate.
It was so much fun talking to you guys. You guys were awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone who tuned in. Loved all your comments. It's definitely worth doing this live. So even though occasionally we might miss a week because of me and my ridiculous travel.
Hey, look, the mobile worked.
And the mobile
I got around the firewall. You
know, and it's actually better than Glenn's Wi-Fi, which is hilarious. So, yeah.
And remember, be human.
I know, absolutely, all the way. Actually, mine's
I love
here.
This. What and am I doing? It reminds me every day. It's awesome. I love mine.
I can't get them made anymore, so I can't pitch them at people from the stage, which is a real shame. So anyway, thank you, everybody. Okay. We shall see you next week at 10 a.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Bye.
Bye. Happy Friday.